Hi, I'm Roger Doherty, Senior Program Manager with the SQL Server Customer Experiences team. And thanks a lot for tuning in. This is the first presentation in a whole collection of content that we're shipping out there to help people learn how to adopt a lot of the great new improvements that are coming in SQL Server 2012. So in this first presentation, we're going to give you a high-level overview of all the great stuff that's coming in this release. And then what follows is a whole series of presentations and demos and hands-on labs that you can use to learn, you know, the important new capabilities in the product and how you can exploit that in your own solution. So let's get right into it. So there's an important change that's happening in the industry today. I like to position this or call this a shift towards what I would call managed services. So what you see on the first stack here is our existing self-managed platform where, you know, we as IT professionals and developers have to worry about, you know, purchasing, deploying, installing, securing, maintaining, patching, updating pretty much every layer of this stack. And we're all pretty comfortable doing this, and it's something that's well understood. This platform is alive and well, and SQL Server 2012 is really designed to work great on bare metal in this type of environment. But there's also an important shift that's going on in the industry. More and more IT shops are looking to kind of localize their compute and storage resources in their organizations and get out of the business of having to, you know, provision servers every time they need a new web server or a new database server. We would call this trend infrastructure as a service, and really it's about kind of dipping into a pool of storage and compute and, you know, provisioning new servers in minutes instead of, you know, days, weeks, or hours. And SQL Server 2012 is designed to function really well in this environment as well. We've done a lot of testing on top of Hyper-V, and our resource governor technology in the product really understands how to work well in a virtualized environment. So there are quite a few workloads that are perfectly acceptable to run in a virtualized kind of way. And that whole kind of private cloud play or story is happening both on-premise with technologies like System Center, Hyper-V Manager, and also it's happening in the public cloud as well, so keep your eye on that space. You know, you should be in a position where you can just, you know, build out a virtual machine and run that on your own, you know, private cloud infrastructure internally, or kind of forklift that thing up and run it in someone else's public cloud infrastructure as well. And that's giving people a lot of flexibility in terms of where they deliver their existing solutions. Now, there's another important trend that's been happening in the industry towards platform as a service. And really, this is to take those same economies of scale where we've abstracted out the compute and storage and push that even further up the stack and get you out of the business of having to provision and license operating system software and database server software. So where this is happening from Microsoft's perspective in the public cloud is Windows Azure. Windows Azure gives you an environment where you can go very quickly and easily provision compute and storage services and consume those services and get all kinds of guarantees with those services when you start using them. So for example, with SQL Azure Database, when you provision a new SQL Azure Database, you automatically get three replicas for that database, and high availability is sort of baked in. If your primary goes down, we'll automatically promote one of your replicas and route all of your connections to the new primary. These are things that require a lot of time and energy to do on-premise, but it's just kind of baked into the platform as a service architecture that we're, you know, deploying in Windows Azure. So between those two you know, motions there, infrastructure as a service and platform as a service, it gives you a great set of choices on whether you want to take an existing solution and kind of replatform it, or whether you want to build a new solution that really kind of abstracts out all of those you know, lower layers and kind of puts the burden on another provider like Microsoft to deliver on their SLA. And the hope is at the end that you're going to build great software as a service that you you can provide to your customers and they can consume and sort of pay as they go. And if they need more and use more, they pay more. If they need less, they let some resources go and pay less. And that's the whole kind of promise of this kind of bursting capability that we see happening in the public cloud space. So when I talk about SQL Server 2012, I like to break it down along these categories that you see along the top of the screen. And we really like to talk about, you know, the core storage and search capabilities of the environment, how you can build mission-critical solutions that that you can write an SLA behind. That's really that whole federation category there. And how you can blend data from multiple places into a common store and integrate that data. That's all about composition. We've got a ton of capability there. Insight's all about, you know, treating your data as an asset and being able to crack open that asset and gain some insights out of it that you didn't have beforehand. So that's all our business intelligence technologies there, and there's a ton of exciting things happening. Delivery is all about choice. You know, do I want to deliver this on, you know, bare metal hardware that I've provisioned at my own data center? You can do that. Do I want to deliver this in a virtual machine on my private cloud infrastructure? You can do that. Do I want to deliver this on a SQL Server appliance that I purchased the hardware that has all the SQL Server kind of infrastructure pre-installed on it? You can do that as well. And then, you know, at the other end of the equation, do I want to basically just take a dependency on a database service in the public cloud? And that's where SQL Azure comes into play. And you have this really incredible range of choices now across all of our offerings. And finally, you need awesome tools, developer tools, to build the next generation of solutions that leverage all of these capabilities. So the goal from our perspective is to deliver these capabilities in a symmetrical way across both our self-managed platform there on the left, as well as our platform as a service world in Windows Azure on the right. And the good news is, as a .NET developer or a SQL Server developer, you already have all the skills you need to get started building solutions for both of these worlds. So it's an exciting time. If you look at kind of the release schedule here on the slide, you'll see that you know, the release cadence for SQL Server on the top has been in the smallest, you know, couple years, 18 months, and some long ones have been up to 5 years. And we've, you know, been delivering great new releases of SQL Server now for almost 20 years. I've been fortunate to be part of that entire ride. When I first started with Microsoft, it was called the Microsoft Ashton Tate Sybase SQL Server version 1.0 for OS 2. And it came on a big stack of floppy disks, and it was this crazy experiment to see if, you know, you could use a PC as a database server. Now we're running some of the highest end tier one mission critical workloads in the world. We have an awesome set of business intelligence capabilities, and this technology is really pervasive, you know, across the planet. So it's really an interesting time. At the same time, this important shift is happening towards managed services, and it's really requiring a more rapid pace in terms of the innovations and the new functionality that you provide. So in the timeline on the bottom, you can see the cadence between our recent SQL Azure releases, and it's measured in months, not in years. So really the focus for us moving forward is how can we deliver really significant value in kind of shorter sprints, if you will, and get those into the hands of our customers. So that's happening as we speak. When I talk about SQL Server 2012, I like to break it down into these four different categories that you see here. On the left, we've got database services, sort of the crown jewel of the SQL Server technologies. We've got the core relational database technology, which in the on-premise world we call SQL Server, and in the platform as a service world we call SQL Azure. And we've got great new features and capabilities available in both of those during the SQL Server 2012 wave. We've also got a set of technologies for doing replication and synchronization. Not a lot of changes with replication in SQL Server 2012, but in the cloud world, in the public cloud space, we do have a new synchronization technology that we've introduced that's currently in preview called SQL Azure Data Sync that allows you to set up sort of a hub and spoke topology for synchronizing data sets between SQL Azure databases in different Azure data centers, as well as to SQL Server databases that might be running on-premise. That's a pretty cool technology, and I encourage you to check it out. We also have a batch of technologies there in the database services stack around indexing, full text indexing. So full text really is a cool technology that lets you do more powerful searches against unstructured content, such as documents, for example. You know, the standard relational queries for joins and where clauses don't really work when you're looking for more complex patterns of words in a document. So full text really nails that for us, and there's a lot of great improvements there in 2012. And we've added an exciting new capability called semantic search on top of that that really helps get to the meaning of the documents, not just the words that are in them, and allows you to kind of compare one document to another to see if it's similar in terms of what the content of that document is, and also to do searches that say, hey, here's a document that I'm interested in. Go find me similar documents based upon these characteristics. So semantic search makes those kinds of searches easier than ever to do. The next pillar that I'll kind of drill down on a bit is what I would call data integration services. And really, there's four technologies in there of interest. The first is integration services, which is our kind of set of tools and services and APIs for handling ETL workloads. ETL means extract, transform, load. This is where you're moving large amounts of data from one place to another. You're kind of scrubbing it up and reshaping it so that it can fit the destination target. Very common to be used in data warehousing, but lots of people use this for all kinds of different kind of data transformation workloads. Tons of really cool improvements in this new release of SQL Server 2012. So I'll talk about it a little bit in this deck, but I certainly encourage you to watch some content that we have further down through these modules on integration services. Master Data Services was introduced in SQL Server 2008 R2, and this is a set of tools and services that a systems integrator can use to wire together disparate information systems that share common data sets. Lots of large customers have this problem where they have these, really key information systems that, maybe share something like department codes, right? Well, do you have to go maintain those department codes in every single one of those systems? Or should the person who actually decides what the valid list of department codes is be the data steward of those things? And shouldn't you have some workflow around that so that when that data steward approves a change to department codes, that it flows back into your ERP system and your HR system and your CRM system? That's what a master data management solution is all about. And we've got a nice set of tools and services right in the box with SQL Server 2012 and Master Data Services to help you pull that off. Data Quality Services is a brand new offering in SQL Server 2012 that's really targeted at the domain experts for data. These are people like compliance officers, data analysts, auditors. They're the people that really understand what's good data and what's bad data. Often the developers or the people building the integration services packages aren't those people. So Data Quality Services is a nice set of end-user tools that allows these domain experts of the data to iteratively build a knowledge base to scrub and cleanse your data so that it can be reintroduced into the system and be compliant. Once they build that knowledge base and they continue to evolve it, they can give the developers access to it in their SSIS packages to help in the data scrubbing and data cleansing process. Finally, at the bottom there is Stream Insight. Stream Insight was new in the SQL Server 2008 R2 wave. This helps us address a whole new workload for SQL Server. And that workload is what we call complex event processing. Basically, the idea is if you have massive amounts of event streaming data flying at you so fast that you don't even have time to persist it, but you still need to query it in real time, Stream Insight handles that exact scenario. So Stream Insight allows you to build standing queries that sit over top of event stream data as it's flying by you at a very high rate of speed and allows you to reason over top of it. And those standing queries are continuously evaluated and they pop out results every so often. And then you can take those results and do things with them. You can run reports off of them, send alerts, do a real-time graph, whatever the kind of visualization you need, you have total flexibility in what you do with that output. So Stream Insight's an important new capability, important new workload in the platform. If you haven't checked it out, I encourage you to definitely look at it because it's going to help you solve some very difficult problems. The other thing that we're doing with Stream Insight is we're projecting that into the public cloud. So we have a project called Project Austin, where the Stream Insight team is looking at kind of giving you some services where Stream Insight is kind of pre-provisioned along with some templates to allow you to kind of do telemetry-based applications in the cloud very easily in a very straightforward way. So check that out. That's coming soon. There's a whole bucket around number crunching or analytical services, as I call it. This is all about, you know, grinding through lots of numbers and really doing great high functioning analysis over top of it. So we have a brand new release of analysis services with a ton of new improvements, including the introduction of the BI semantic model, which I'll talk about in a bit. Integration of the VertiPack technology that was pioneered in PowerPivot in the new tabular models and analysis services. So analysis services gives you the best of the multi-dimensional MDX OLAP world, and we're starting to bridge in this new column store VertiPack world, DAX world, that was pioneered by PowerPivot. And we're going to offer both of those capabilities out of analysis services, which is pretty exciting. Data mining hasn't changed too much in SQL Server 2012, but that's an important part of the product. And then PowerPivot. PowerPivot is all about really improving the analytical experience of that Excel user. So we've got a new PowerPivot client for Excel 2010 that really kind of really supercharges Excel as a data analysis tool. And then we've got PowerPivot Server in SharePoint 2010, which allows you to take your PowerPivot models developed in Excel 2010, publish them up to a server, and then share them with your coworkers with lots of great interactivity. So there's a brand new release of all of those technologies as well, and a new release of the underlying data analysis expression syntax and query language that those use to do their analytics. Then the last but not least, we've got a great bucket there on reporting services. So at the top, we've got reporting services, which really is a great infrastructure for developers to build pre-built reports that can have great interactivity and great data visualization in them, and can be rendered in a variety of formats, and then publish those out for users to consume them, either from a custom application or from some SharePoint portal, for example. That's the whole idea behind reporting services. We do have a new release of that technology in SQL Server 2012 that supports a new end-user data alerting capability. And also, we are offering SQL Azure Reporting, which is the reporting services technology delivered as a service in Windows Azure. So now you can actually go up and provision your own report server in the cloud, deploy your reports to it, not even have to worry about provisioning hardware or licensing any software to do that. You just sort of pay as you go with SQL Azure Reporting. That's currently in preview. If you if you're a reporting services shop, definitely recommend that you check that out. Report Builder, not changing too much in this release. That's the kind of standalone report authoring tool for folks that don't want to author reports in Visual Studio. We have a nice alternative for them in Report Builder. Not too many changes there. And then PowerView is probably one of the most exciting things that's happening in SQL Server 2012. PowerView is all about a new self-service data visualization experience that we're providing for users in SharePoint. Users can sort of drop data onto a palette, visualize it in different ways, and really kind of present it in the most compelling way possible with lots of great interactivity in real time. So we're really working hard on making sure that we're delivering on that self-service reporting and analysis story in this release. So drilling down a little bit into some of the different categories of improvements, let's start with storage and search. So there's a lot of nice improvements in both the database engine and in analysis services from a storage perspective. One of the most interesting things is we have now support for SMB for talking to our database files. So you can now actually say create database on a network share. And with a lot of the improvements that are coming in Windows Server 8 around new versions of the SMB protocol, we can guarantee a very high performance experience there, provided you have the right networking and storage infrastructure in place. And it gives you a lot of flexibility in terms of how you actually deploy your data files. So in the past, you either had your own direct attached storage or you had a SAN. In the future, you'll also have this kind of storage spaces option with Windows Server 8. And if you store your database files off in those storage spaces, you can get super high performance capability out of a pool of storage, really improving the overall total cost of ownership of your storage solution. So that's something to keep an eye on. All the core improvements are there in SQL Server 2012 to take advantage of those improvements coming in Windows Server 8. New character encoding capabilities. We've got improvements to table partitioning. FileStream, which is our database blob storage technology in SQL Server, has really grown up in this release and improved. And so those are just a few things that are happening from a storage perspective. From an indexing perspective, the big news is Column Store. So Column Store adds a new column-wise indexing technology right into the relational database engine that allows you to really supercharge your data warehousing queries and get just unbelievable performance improvements for queries against large data sets. So we basically pack the data down into a Column Store so that much more of it can fit in memory at one time. And just, you know, some of the performance numbers that we're seeing out of this will blow your mind. So keep your eye on that space when the real benchmark numbers come out. Lots of improvements in full text. We already talked about those and semantic search. So and we'll have some more content on that in presentations and demos that follow. Moving on, let's talk about what it takes to build those mission-critical services that you need to write a service-level agreement behind so someone can take a dependency on it. If someone's going to take a dependency on your service, it better be continuously available, it better be responsive, it better be secure, and it better comply with your standards. So all of those things, you know, have to do with this whole federation category. So the first thing that we'll talk about in the database engine are some nice security improvements that have shown up, the ability to create your own custom server roles, improvements in the security infrastructure around our data tier application framework, lots of improvements in terms of the ability to define the default schema for users. Instead of having to go and do that on a user-by-user basis, you can now do it on the group level, which is a nice administrative improvement. The VertiPack engine, which is that underlying storage engine underneath PowerPivot that forms the new tabular models and analysis services, is beginning to grow up and get more enterprise-like capabilities like its big brother analysis services and MoLab has. So it will support, for example, a new role-based security model there to help, you know, improve the enterprise-grade capabilities of if you decide to use that type of VertiPack storage engine. High availability is probably one of the biggest and most important things that's happening in the SQL Server 2012 release. And we have a set of tools and capabilities and services that we brand as a whole, Always On. And there's a lot of different aspects to Always On, so you'll see me mention it in a few places in this presentation. The first way that we'll talk about it is high availability. So what we've done is we've really rationalized both our database mirroring technology and our failover clustering technology, and we've kind of provided you a much more a cohesive set of tools and services for delivering high availability at the application level. In the past, the focus has always been on either the node level, which is failover clusters, or at the database level, which was database mirroring. And really, most customers are more concerned about whether their application is running. So we've got lots of great economies of scale around that application level. So this is really an integrated solution across both your shared and non-shared storage. And we're going to give you the ability to have multiple secondary replicas of a database when you're using what's called availability groups. We'll also support multi-site failover clusters now in a much more cohesive way. And if you're using advanced capabilities like FileStream database blob storage, those can participate in your high availability configuration. So our support for a full wider range of features in SQL Server is important here and Always On. So some other interesting things we're doing with regards to federation is on how well we utilize your hardware resources. So On one perspective, for high availability and disaster recovery, customers are asking us to use all those redundant nodes they have there waiting for a failover. So with always on, you can actually take a replica and basically make it what we call a readable secondary and route your read-only workloads to those readable secondaries. And a read-only workload could be a reporting workload or a backup workload. All of those things can be routed to a readable secondary, giving you better resource utilization of that hardware, so it's just not sitting there waiting for a failover event all the time. We also, on the low end, have a new flavor of SQL. It's actually a new deployment option of SQL Server 2012 Express. It's called the Local Database Runtime. It's super small, installs in 5 minutes or less. It's a shared component. It does not run as a service, and it's really ideal low footprint SQL solution for an embedded database for a tool or an application. So keep your eye on that. There's some really cool things happening with the Local Database Runtime. Federation is also about managing, these solutions and this infrastructure at scale. You have to have great tools and great capabilities to keep the system healthy and really reduce your overall total cost of ownership. So there's a ton of things that we're doing here to improve supportability. Our support for Windows Server Core means that, there's less of a surface area that you have to worry about patching. So you can install right onto Windows Server Core and, really limit how many times you have to deploy updates because it's a smaller surface area. Our setup technology now supports slipstream upgrades. So when you install SQL Server for the first time, we'll go up and check to see if there are new versions available and just let you use those new bits right from the get-go instead of making you go back and install service packs and that type of thing. So really making you more efficient in the deployment area. From a manageability perspective, Always On adds this concept of availability groups. And this is what I was talking about when I talked about high availability at the application level. Most applications use more than one database. So with Always On, you can create what's called an availability group, add all the databases that are important to a particular application to that availability group, and then apply your high availability policy to that as a unit instead of having to do it on a one-off basis across all of your individual databases. Big improvements there in terms of usability and manageability. We have also a lot of improvements in integration services for the DBA. So in the past, integration services were these kind of packages, and you weren't really sure what was happening inside of them. We've added a whole server-based infrastructure for deploying, monitoring, managing, versioning your SSIS packages. So the people that are administering that database server now have great visibility into what's actually going on and how to control those packages and troubleshoot them if there's problems with them. So lots of great tooling there for integration services. Reporting services is going to offer a ton of great new features when you install it in SharePoint integrated mode. In the past, it was sort of this foreign thing that was sort of outside of SharePoint, and the SharePoint admins weren't really comfortable with it. With SQL Server 2012, it actually installs as a shared service, so your SharePoint admins won't think of it as a crazy foreign thing, and it offers a lot better integration with the native SharePoint environment from both an administration and a functionality perspective. From a governance perspective, this is all about, making sure that your data is compliant. We're adding some important new capabilities here. We're adding support for database audit to all SQL Server SKUs. That used to be an Enterprise Edition only feature. Now it's available across all the SKUs. And we're adding this new data quality services capability that I talked about earlier that lets those domain experts kind of build out those knowledge bases for scrubbing your data and making sure that it's compliant. From a BI perspective, the big news here is the introduction of the BI semantic model. We're going to have a lot of content on that following this presentation, but the high level here is we think we have come up with a really good model to drive all of our user experiences from reporting to analytics to scorecards to dashboards. And you as developers will be the people responsible for making sure that underlying model gets built and gets instrumented to drive the best experience possible depending upon the tool that the user is using. And so that's a really, really big improvement that's coming in SQL Server 2012 that all you BI professionals should learn about. We have a brand new Power Pivot release. We've got the new Power View functionality, which again is that that very highly visual, interactive kind of data exploration tool. And the kind of tagline there is presentation ready at all times. So when you're looking at your Power View surface, you know, you should be looking at something fairly compelling at every moment when you're constructing it. Get real-time feedback right on top of your data and get it to a form where it really kind of conveys the information that you need it to without having to fight with it too much. So great new end-user data exploration experience with Power View. And then we talked a little bit about reporting services. The big new functionality there is user-defined data alerts. So a user can go in and basically ask to be alerted if a particular threshold or condition is reached in a report that they care about. Finally, just to kind of wrap things up, data programmability is a big part of this release as well. So we've got a lot of great new improvements in Transact SQL to improve our ANSI standard compatibility, which makes it easier to migrate solutions to SQL Server. We've got a great new error handling capability. We've got a lot of improvements in our data tier application framework, which will be of interest to developers. So I encourage you to check out that content following this presentation. And nice new improvements in the entity framework. So for example, developers can now write their classes and frameworks first, and we'll reverse engineer all the SQL Server data structures underneath to support that so-called code first functionality. And we also have a nice REST-based API that sits on top of that entity framework, which will be really important with Windows 8 coming and you know, devices becoming more prevalent. You need to be able to get at your data over a lightweight kind of HTTP-based protocol. OData is the way to do that, and it just is very tightly integrated with the entity framework. So developers have a very seamless story all up and down the stack. And probably the biggest news from a developer perspective is the introduction of the new SQL Server Data Tools. So SQL Server Data Tools is a couple of different things. Usually when I'm talking about it, I'm talking about a new set of designers and project systems that integrate with Visual Studio or run in a standalone way. That make it possible for you to build database applications using a much more modern experience. So we want to give you a declarative model-based approach for building your solutions, make it very easy to refactor. As soon as you make a change somewhere in your project, you should get immediate feedback on the impact of that change in terms of the dependencies to tables and stored procedures and views in the same project. So we're really, really beefing up and providing you a great new modern development experience with SQL Server Data Tools. And those will be available free via web platform installer, so you can get started building SQL Server applications without even installing SQL Server. You can also install SQL Server Data Tools in an integrated fashion with your existing Visual Studio 2010 install, or you can install it integrated with all of the BI development tools that come with SQL Server 2012 so that you get the full suite of development tools that you need. Database applications with SQL Server Data Tools, reporting services, analysis services, integration services, all of them supporting Visual Studio 2010 in a common environment. We're going to have a whole presentation on SQL Server Data Tools. I'm not really doing it full justice here, but do stick in there and see. We're really doing some cool things with that. There's a brand new release of our integration services package designer with a ton of developer improvements. And finally, we're really, really interested in making sure that those non-Microsoft developers feel comfortable targeting SQL Server. So we've got a really highly functional JDBC and PHP driver out there. And we also have, you know, new ODBC drivers for all those native code developers. And we want to make sure that regardless of your choice of language, that we've got great providers and great interfaces into both SQL Server and SQL Azure. Big focus for us during this wave. So finally, you know, a few resources for you to check out. You can find out all the latest information on what's happening with SQL Server 2012 at microsoft.com/SQL Server. All of this content and all of the subsequent presentations and demos, you can find the latest information about those at bit.ly /SQL2012cookbook. That's the SQL Server 2012 Early Adoption Cookbook. Thanks a lot for all of your attention. Hopefully that gives you a real high-level understanding of the surface area of this new release. And in the subsequent presentations and demos, we're going to drill down and really give you a good flavor for all the cool things that are happening in SQL Server 2012. Thanks for tuning in.